Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Premanande Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Dishutamine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hare Krishna. So the purpose of these seminars is to help you become fixed up in your Krishna consciousness. Generally, when you are at home, you are far, far away from Krishna consciousness. At home, the atmosphere is dealing mostly with materialistic affairs. Even though you may have altars at home, even though you are somehow practicing Krishna consciousness, but often I get to hear that one feels that the atmosphere at home is not very conducive to Krishna consciousness. That's why we make this arrangement that you can come away from home and become absorbed in a pure spiritual atmosphere. Temple atmosphere, temple program, association of devotees, getting to hear Krishna Katha, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, purpose of Krishna consciousness. So, all these arrangements are made here to just give you Hari Bol, Hari Bol, facilitate. Therefore, very serious. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, please Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And one way to show your Gaur Premanande
by being here on time.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate
Bhakti Vedanta Swami. I try to come here exactly before.
Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine.
When I come here, I see half the place is filled up.
Hare Krishna.
That means half the place is empty. So the purpose of
then I see gradually
seminars
you all are trickling in
is to help you
become
why is that
fixed up in your Krishna consciousness.
Why did you come here?
To gossip? Hmm. Associate with
generally
your
when you are
friends
at home
and talk about all kinds
you are
of prajalpas
away from
Gramma Katha,
mundane topics.
Is that the reason
at
why
home,
you have come here?
The atmosphere is.
Is it a social gathering?
Dealing mostly with.
Or it is an opportunity to learn. Opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, opportunity to
even though
serious.
You may have about your spiritual life.
Therefore, time and time again, I am reminding you, please become serious about your involvement in Krishna consciousness. You know what will happen if you are not serious? If you are not serious about Krishna consciousness, then at the time of your death, you won't be able to remember Krishna. And if you cannot remember Krishna at the time of death, then what is the guarantee what next life will be? Do you want to be born as an animal? Do you want to be born in a lower species than life? In life? No. You have come here to Krishna consciousness to make your life successful. Make your life successful means finish off your business in this material world. And if you are fixed up in Krishna consciousness, at least in your next life, you'll get a chance to become Krishna conscious. But if you are not serious, then who knows what's going to happen. I can tell you, just because you are wearing Kanti Mala and Tilak is not the guarantee. Even if you have been initiated, that is not the guarantee that you'll be able to make your life successful. The opportunity is actually with you. You have to make yourself Krishna conscious. And that's why you have to become serious. You know what happens when there is a convention or a seminar in the outside world? What happens? After a certain time, the door is closed. Those who don't come in time, they cannot enter. Because they take it as a serious business. But should we become even less serious about our mission after being Krishna conscious? I'm saying these things to you because it's my duty to remind you about your business. Guru's business is to chastise the disciples when they are going wrong. All of you may not be my Diksha disciple, but at least when you're sitting here, I consider that at least you all are related to me in Shiksha relationship. So it's my business to remind you about the goal of your life. So please take this business seriously. We are discussing about some very serious topic. This Krishna Tattva, Vrindavan Tattva, Bhagavat Tattva is not an easy business. It is the highest spiritual education, highest spiritual realization, highest spiritual achievement. So don't take this lightly. Take it seriously. Whether you are staying in the temple or whether you are staying at home, make this the ultimate goal of your life. When you make it ultimate goal of your life, then you will become serious. When you go to some important occasion or interesting occasion, do you go there late? Although you don't go to cinemas or movies, when you went there, did you ever go to the cinema late? No. Why? Because you had your interest in that. That was of the highest importance at that time. You bought the ticket in order to watch the movie. So you are there well ahead of time. In a school, when students go to the class, can they whimsically walk into the class? Or they have to go there before the class starts? So here also we are conducting classes. So why are you late? Because, as I was saying at the beginning, that is indicating you are not taking your spiritual life seriously. So that's what I am trying to point out. Please take it seriously. Read. If you don't read, then you won't find the juice. You won't find the nectar. You won't find the interest. Therefore, reading is so important, because when you read, then automatically you'll develop your interest. When I see that you are not displaying that interest, that's indicating that you are not serious about it, that you are not reading. You are not reading Prabhupada's books. And if you don't read, you won't get the nectar. Because the nectar is in reading. The nectar is understanding, becoming aware what this mission is meant for. Another problem is to think that, well, I know everything. There's no need for me to hear anything. I know everything. That's also another very dangerous situation. I am so advanced that I do not have to advance anymore. I have become so advanced that I do not have to take anything anymore. I know everything. I got everything. So if you think that you got everything, then what's the need for taking anything else? On the other hand, the more you make advancement, the more you will realize how much more is there to learn. That is the sign of advancement. More to learn. Because we are dealing with an endless subject. An endless topic. We are dealing with infinity. We are dealing with absolute. Absolute means which is endless. So more you come close to the endless, the more you will realize how insignificant you are. So this is how you recognize whether you are advancing or not in your spiritual life. Anyway, today we are actually coming to a topic. Yesterday we discussed briefly about how Radharani developed her love for Krishna and how Krishna responded to Radharani's love. Actually, Radha Krishna's relationship is eternal. Radharani is Krishna's eternal consort. But they are acting in this way through their pastimes so that we can understand. We can understand. Yeah, there is some way Krishna is enacting his pastimes for us for us to understand. Therefore, this pastime, Lalita is painting different personalities, showing that to Radharani. Radharani, is this the one who are dreaming about in your dream, the personality who comes to you? Is this the one? Radharani keeps on rejecting. No, not this, not this, not this. Finally, when Lalita showed Krishna's picture that she painted, what was Radharani's reaction? She didn't say anything. Only her eyes dropped in embarrassment. That's a natural female reaction. The personality who she loves, just his awareness of him makes her shy, makes her embarrassed. And Lalita understood what is happening. And Radharani tells Lalita, "Lalita, I won't be able to maintain my life without this person. My heart has been completely given out to him. It's not mine anymore. It has become his." So Lalita goes and tells Krishna, "Krishna, Radhe fell in love with you. And she is saying that she can't live without you." Then Krishna says, "Okay. Okay, it's all right. Thanks for telling me. I will naturally reciprocate." And so Krishna comes to Radharani's house. But in Indian culture, male people cannot meet with the girls directly like that. Even the male members of the family even cannot go to the area where the women live. That area is completely for women. No entrance to male members, unless there is some dire need. So how will Krishna go to meet Radharani? He transformed himself into a woman. So you can imagine when Krishna becomes a woman, what happens? Even Lord Shiva becomes bewildered. You remember what happened to Lord Shiva when he saw the Mohini Murti of the Lord? Another beautiful instance in that respect is when Satyabhama was brought to the house of Krishna in Dwarka. Krishna became curious to see her. But as I said, during the daytime he couldn't go there as a male person in the inside of the house. So he transformed himself into a woman. And he was walking in. Uddhav saw this personality walking towards the inner part of the house, inner part of the palace. And Uddhav felt some attraction for this person, this woman. And Uddhav was surprised because he didn't have any attraction for anyone other than Krishna. What to speak of any woman? And Uddhav started to consider, what happened? Why am I becoming attracted to this woman? And then he concluded that this must be Krishna in the woman form. This must be the form that Krishna, that is Krishna's Mohini form. So this is how we can see how beautiful Krishna becomes when he assumes the form of a woman. So assuming that form, female form, Krishna went into Vrishabhanu Maharaja's place, King Vrishabhanu's palace, and he went in. And seeing him, Radharani became so attracted. And he said, "Who are you?" And she says, "My name is Gop Devata. I live in Braj. I am a cowherd girl." He didn't say, "I'm a cowherd girl." He said, "I belong to the cowherd family." So she then, Radharani then told that, "Oh, I'm so, seeing you, I became so attracted to you. Please become my friend." She said, "Yes, I also heard so many wonderful things about you. Therefore, I actually came to meet you." So this is how they became friends. And they spent the whole day together. And in the evening, Gop Devata wanted to go home. So Radha said, "No," she held her hand. He said, "No, no, I can't let you go. You have to stay here. You said that you'll stay here with me all the time." She said, "Look, my brother is waiting for me to milk the cow. And if I don't go, then he'll be upset. So please let me go. I'll come back tomorrow morning." So Radharani had to let her go. And in the morning, Radharani is waiting when this girl Gopadevata is going to come, when she's going to come. Then finally, when she arrived, Radharani said, "Why did you come so late? I'd been waiting for you since morning. And you told me that you'd come back early morning." She said, "Yes, you know, I was coming. But on the way, I met that rascal, Krishna. And he demanded tax from me because I was carrying milk products and butter and yogurt. And he said, I have to pay tax." And I said, "Why should I pay tax to you? Who are you?" He said, "I am the lord of this land." I said, "You are not the lord of this land. The lord of this land is Kamsa. So we all are paying tax to Kamsa. Why should he pay tax to Kamsa?" And he said, "Kamsa, that rascal, he is nobody. I am actually the lord of this land, so you have to pay me tax." So in this way, I got into a big fight with him. And then you know what he did? He broke the pot that I was carrying with yogurt. And you know, I was so heartbroken that I cried for a while. I didn't know how to deal with that person. He's actually a disgrace to Vrindavan. The Radharani said, "No, no, no, don't speak like that. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is acting in this way to give pleasure to his devotees." And she started to glorify Krishna, telling Krishna's qualities. Then Gopadevata said, "Well, if your words are true, then Krishna will come here. Krishna will appear here to prove that your words are true." So Radharani said, "Okay." So she sat on meditation, closed her eyes. She was meditating on Krishna. And then when she opened her eyes, she saw Krishna standing there. So this is how Krishna, Radharani expressed her love and fell in love with Krishna. Now here we have to recognize this love affair is not the love affairs of this world. The loving relationship in this world is between the bodies, whereas this love affair is the love affair of the souls. Individual souls' union with the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, when we enter into this region of Krishna's relationship with the gopis, we should not mistake that to be like the mundane relationship between a young boy and a young girl. It is a loving relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His most advanced, most intimate devotees. And there is union, yes, but that union is not the union of the bodies, it's the union of the souls. And that becomes the source of real ecstasy. So that's why before we enter into this domain, we have to be very, very careful that we recognize who is Krishna, who is Srimati Radharani. In that respect, I can give you some some lessons that we learn from Srila Prabhupada's different encounters. One encounter, one thing is some Indian gentleman was talking to Srila Prabhupada and he was saying that Krishna's dealings with the gopis are immoral. Immoral. The Prabhupada was trying to explain to him that no, you have to recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And His loving exchange with His most intimate devotees is not a mundane affair. It's not a mundane loving relationship between a young boy and a young girl. It is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's union with His most intimate devotees. But that person kept on arguing with Srila Prabhupada, saying that no, it is wrong what Krishna did, etc., etc. And Prabhupada tried to make him understand, but this person just wouldn't understand. Then finally Prabhupada just shouted at him, "Your relationship with your wife is immoral because you are stealing Krishna's property for your enjoyment." And that shut that person up. He just walked out. When the proprietor enjoys his property, is there anything wrong with that? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Therefore, he has the right to enjoy. But that enjoyment is not the enjoyment between two bodies leading to sex life. Two bodies' union is sexual affair. But Krishna's relationship with his most intimate devotees is a spiritual affair. There is nothing mundane about it. And you know how spiritual it is? When Krishna embraces Srimati Radharani, that becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Krishna and Radha become one, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is how he came to give us Krishna consciousness, give us the highest understanding of spiritual affair. Another such encounter I heard Srila Prabhupada had in Philadelphia. One of my godbrothers, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, told me there was a big Indian professor, Indologist, Indian dealing, and he was naturally an Indian. He was also Bengali. So he also got into an argument with Srila Prabhupada like that. But Prabhupada explained to him that everything in this material nature, everything that is there in the material nature is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Whatever there is in the material nature, there is in the spiritual world. So, what is seen as a relationship between man and woman in the material nature is actually a perverted reflection of Krishna's relationship with the most exalted devotees in the spiritual world. Now, should he mistake the reflection to be real? No, we must see that the reflection is diametrically opposite. What is the topmost in the material nature, in the reflection, is the lowermost. And that's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita, see, it has been pointed out, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Boli Kam, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prem Naam. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Boli Kam. When we want to give pleasure to our own senses, Atmendriya Priti Vancha. That is called lust, kam. And Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prem Naam. And to desire, and the desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses is love or prem. Atoev kam preme bohuto antar. Therefore, there is a vast difference between love and lust. Kam andhatamo prem nirmal bhaskar. Lust is like the deepest darkness, whereas love is brilliant as the sun. So the point is, in the material nature there is no love. What goes on in the name of love is different degrees of lust. Love is only a spiritual relationship of an individual with Krishna. When we develop our spiritual relationship with Krishna, that is love. Not this material relationship, which goes on in the name of love. It's not love, it's lust. Maybe to a different degrees. In some degree there is less lust, and in some relationship there is more lust. But in the spiritual relationship, only there is love. What I'm saying, is it understandable, or I'm saying something which is beyond comprehension? Are you understanding it, what I'm saying? Yes or no? So should I continue? You are not being shocked? When I'm quoting Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada is saying that your relationship with your wife is immoral. Well, that's why there is the social sanction. In that relationship, there is a need for social approval. If one does it without the social approval, without marriage, that relationship is immoral. But there is a certain degree of morality, relative morality, because it has the social approval. Marriage is the social approval. Yes, this man can be united with this woman. What is the purpose? The purpose is procreation, progeny. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. The purpose of accepting a wife is to produce children. That is the purpose. But unfortunately, the whole world has become so degraded that people are forgetting about the purpose of producing children, and they are simply indulging in those activities just for the sake of sense pleasure. But here we have to understand one thing. Even the animals don't have sex unless it is without the purpose of procreation. Now, should the man become even more degraded than animals? Do the animals indulge in sexual relationship without the purpose of procreation? No. So I'm just discussing about some bare facts, and it's up to you how you're going to take it. Now I'll go to another extent that may be even more shocking. This is coming from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He is saying, Kaminir kam nahe tabo dham, tahar malik kebal jado. Enjoyment with a woman, lusty relationship with a woman is not meant for you. Because the proprietor of all women is Jadav Krishna. Who is the proprietor of all women? Kaminir kam, the beauty of a woman, is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So, therefore the Vedic culture is matrivat paradareshu. Apart from your wife, look at every woman as your mother. Because they all are Krishna's father. See how exalting this Krishna consciousness movement is, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement is. Nowhere you will get such clear understanding about spiritual relationship. Now it's up to you how you're going to accept it. So that is how we have to actually... I'm being so emphatic about these points. Because I am entering into one area where Krishna is dancing with the gopis, rasa dance. So who is Krishna's eternal consort? Radharani. Who is Radharani? Is she just one beautiful young girl? Or is she the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable potencies, innumerable power, innumerable energy. Parashya Shaktir Vibhidhaiva Shruyate. Parashya Shaktir Vibhidhaiva Shruyate. Krishna's spiritual potency is innumerable. Defined in different divisions, vividhaiva shruyate, and they are generally classified into three categories: sandhini, sambit, and ladini. Sandhini is the existence aspect. Sambit is the cognizant aspect, conscious aspect. Knowledge aspect, and Ladini is the pleasure aspect. Existence, cognizance, and pleasure. So the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. His business is to enjoy. So, what is Krishna doing? He's enjoying. and who is providing his enjoyment, with whom Krishna is having this enjoyment? Srimati Radha. The source of all of Krishna's enjoyment is Srimati Radha. And then the gopis are expansions of Srimati Radharani. All the gopis are actually Radharani's expansions. And Krishna is enjoying with them. Krishna is calling them out at middle of the night by playing his flute. By playing this flute, Krishna is actually attracting everyone. And especially the gopis, when they hear Krishna's flute, sound of Krishna's flute, they leave everything and just run. Some gopi is taking care of a child, drops a child and runs after, runs to meet Krishna. Some gopi is with her husband, she drops her husband, runs to meet Krishna. Some gopis are taking care of the elderly members of the family, maybe serving them prasad. All of a sudden they heard Krishna's flute and they just dropped everything and ran to meet Krishna. Can you imagine what kind of attraction? And can you imagine what kind of reaction? Everyone is surprised. What's happening? Why are they doing this? Look, she was serving me some prasad. I was in the middle of it. And then all of a sudden she walked out and went somewhere else. And in this way everyone was feeling. And this is how the gopis were behaving. But some gopis couldn't go. And their family members locked them up in the room. And they couldn't go. But what happened? They left their body to meet with Krishna. That is how intense was their love for Krishna. So this is how the cowherd damsels reacted to Krishna's calling. And when they came, Krishna was playing the flute and asked, "What happened? What are you doing here?" They said, "We came to meet you." "You came to meet me? No, 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 don't do that. You are Kulavati Naris. You are just female. So you should go home at night. One should not come out like that to meet someone." And they say, "Come on, Krishna. You call us by playing your flute. And now you say, go home. And forget it. We are not going. We have come to meet with you and we are going to be with you." So in this way, there's initial exchange and then Krishna dances with them. And that's the most beautiful thing that could ever happen. Like that dance is inconceivably beautiful dance. It cannot be described. The only thing that we can actually understand to some extent, Brahma Samhita is describing the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, katha ganam natyam gamanam. In the spiritual world, their speech, their talking is music. When the residents of Vrindavan speak, it's not speech, it's not talk. It's music. And nirtam gamanam api, and when they move, their movement is dance. So where katha ganam and gamanam nirtam, movement is dance and talk is music, then what is Krishna's flute, sound of Krishna's flute like? Where katha, just talk, is music, what the flute, sound of melodious sound of flute is like, Krishna's. And where movement is dance, what rasa dances. So, in simple words, it's inconceivable. During Rath Yatra, when Krishna was taken from Kurukshetra to Dwarka, Kurukshetra to Vrindavan, then the queen, Rukmini, became very disturbed when she got the news that the prince has been kidnapped by the residents of Vrindavan. So she came with the army and surrounded Vrindavan, arrested the residents. And there was a judgment. And in the judgment, it was established that Vrindavan is far superior to Dwarka. Her question actually was, why Krishna is always so attracted that his mind is always in Vrindavan, while in Dwarka there is everything available. Everything is there in Dwarka. So why Krishna's mind is always in Vrindavan? And she was told that, you see, in Vrindavan, the land is Chintamani. The trees are Kalpavrikshas. And cows are Surabhi cows. So if the residents of Vrindavan wanted anything, they could get it. Any opulence they could have got. But they don't want anything but Krishna. All they want is only Krishna. Therefore, they don't have any other desire. That's why Vrindavan is a forest. And it appears to be like the way it is. It's a forest. So at that time, Rukmini Devi actually requested, I heard so much about Rasa dance. So I would like to watch it. I'd like to see. So Rasa dance was enacted. But mind you, this Vrindavan is not the real Vrindavan. It is Nava Vrindavan, where the residents were staying. They went to Kurukshetra. The place where they were residing was near the forest, because they're cowherd people. They were staying in the forest, near the forest. So that is where all this was happening. So Rukmini exclaimed, oh, what an amazing thing I saw. Radharani's reply was, what did you see? This rasa dance is nothing compared to the rasa dance we dance in Vrindavan, in Golok. Anyway, so this is how Krishna is performing his pastimes. And the residents of Vrindavan are constantly engaged, relishing this association with Krishna through the highest form of reciprocation. There are various types of gopis. Who are these gopis? That also has been explained, that the Shrutis, the Vedas, understanding who Krishna is, what Krishna's relationship. You see, what the Vedas are ultimately teaching? Vedaishcha sarvair ahameva vedya. Krishna is the ultimate goal of all the Vedas. And in the Vedas, we get to know the ultimate relationship is the relationship with Vrindavan, the way the gopis had their relationship. Ramma kachid upashana brajabodhu bargena jakalpita. The way the brajabodhus, the cowherd damsels, develop their relationship with Krishna, loving relationship with Krishna, that's the highest form of devotional service. So, they said, we understood, You are the supreme attractive personality, and your pastimes in Vrindavan is the highest. So we know that, but we didn't get any experience of that. So Krishna then said, okay, you will get the opportunity to be born as gopis. So these are one set of gopis who are known as Shruti Chari gopis. The Shruti or the Vedas became gopis. Then there are Rishi Chari gopis, the sages of Dandakaranya. When they met Ramchandra, they felt some intense attraction for him. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they wanted to have their loving relationship with him. So Ramchandra assured them that, look, in these pastimes, I am establishing marjada of Shastra. So I have only one wife. But in my next pastimes as Krishna Chandra, you will be able to participate. So they became gopis. They are known as Rishi Chari gopis. Then when Lord Ramchandra broke the bow and got married to Sita Devi, then the young girls of Mithila also felt intense attraction for Lord Ramchandra. So Ramchandra assured them, okay, not in this pastimes. This pastimes I have only one wife. So I will, in my next pastimes, you will be able to participate. And they became Maithili gopis. Then when Lord Ramchandra came back to Ayodhya after marrying Sita, then the girls of Ayodhya also felt attraction towards Ramchandra. So Ramchandra gave them also assurance that, well, in my next pastime. So they are the Ayodhya gopis. Then the demigoddesses, seeing Lord Ramchandra, felt intense attraction. So they also were blessed with the assurance that, in my next pastimes, you will be able to take part. And so they became the Daivi gopis, the demigods who became gopis. Sita was in exile. Lord Ramchandra is ruling the kingdom. It is the custom that the king must perform the sacrifices with his wife, with the queen, along with him. So, Sita was not there. So, each time Lord Ramchandra performed some sacrifice, Sita's form was made out of gold. And with that golden Sita with him, Lord Ramchandra performed the sacrifices. So, they were there. Many Jagga Sitas, the Sita who was formed out of gold for the Jagya or sacrifice. So they also approached Ramchandra that you have accepted us as your wives, but you didn't deal with us as your wife. That's unfair. So Ramchandra also said, okay, in my next pastime, not in this pastime. They are called Yagga Sitas, who became gopis. In this way, there is a description. There are innumerable gopis. Not just 16,108 gopis. There are millions of gopis who danced in the Rasa dance. And Krishna expanded himself into all their forms. Is it difficult for Krishna? No, if Krishna can be in the heart of everyone as a super soul, cannot Krishna appear with his devotee and dance with her? So this is how there are various gopis, and So, in this way, Krishna performed his wonderful pastimes. With one incident, I will close the class and take questions. So, Krishna danced with the gopis, and they were very exhausted. And then they went to Jamuna to take bath. So in this way, Krishna was spending the nights with the gopis. Krishna's daily activities were like that. During the day, he was spending his time with the cowherd boys, tending the cows. And at night, when everyone was fast asleep, he would dance with the gopis. And anyway, there is some very beautiful descriptions of how others reacted. Krishna would come back home before everyone woke up, and in Krishna's because of his spending his time in the forest, there would be some mark of soil in his body. There was a mark of scratches, his cloth was torn, and so Mother Yashoda would wake up Krishna and see Krishna in that way. And she would chastise the gopis who were bathing Krishna the night before. "You're so careless. You're supposed to bathe Krishna and clean him. And this is how you cleaned him. All the soil marks are in his body." The gopis were surprised and they didn't say anything. They knew what actually happened. "And look, his body is scratched with the mark of the thorns that actually pierced his body. And his clothes are all torn. How you all are taking care of Krishna?" And so this is how they or she would react. And so one day, Krishna came quite late. And the gopis were all very much upset. "Krishna, why did you come so late?" Krishna said, "You see, my guru came. He is on the other side, in Bhandirvan. And so I went to see him, and he was so happy to meet me after such a long time. So I had to spend some time with him, and that's why I got late." "Oh, you have a guru? Your guru came here. Who is your guru?" "Durbhasha Muni." "Oh, can you go and see him?" "Yes, sure you can go and see him." So, "But Krishna, it's so late at night. How will you go? How will you go across Jamuna? At this time, there won't be any boat available." So, Krishna said, "Okay, you go to Jamuna and tell her, just with folded hands, you just chant one mantra. Krishna is a brahmachari. Krishna is a brahmachari. And Jamuna will part." So they went and they went to Jamuna and offered prayers. And yes, Jamuna parted. So they went across the river. They carried a whole lot of food because they are going to meet Krishna's guru. So we have to feed him very nicely. So they came and they met Durbhasha Muni. So they fed Durbhasha Muni very nicely, received some very important instructions from him. and Durvasa ate all that they brought. And then it occurred to them, how are you going to go across the river now? So late at night, and they won't be any boatman. So they told Durvasa Muni that how we are going to go across the river. Durvasa said, don't worry. When you go there to Jamuna with folded hands, you just chant the mantra, Durvasa is anahari. That is, Durvasa doesn't eat anything. And so they went and chanted the mantra, and Jamuna parted. And they walked through Jamuna, came to Krishna. Krishna said, they said, hey Krishna, what's happening? We know what kind of brahmachari you are. Since your childhood, you are associating with us. And you are claiming that you are a brahmachari. And how stupid Jamuna is that she gave her way. Just hearing that. And then when we went to meet your guru, we fed him. And he ate everything that we took. We took a mountainous food with us. And he ate everything. He polished everything off. And then he told us to say, Durvasa is anahari. So what's happening? How can we understand that? Then Krishna explained that I, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I fulfill the desire of my devotees. Je jatha mang prapadante tang tatreva vajama. Because you want me in this way, therefore I reciprocate with you. Similarly, Durvasa simply eats the juice of extract of Durva grass. He doesn't need any food. But because you all wanted to feed him, he simply fulfilled your desire. He doesn't have any desire for his pleasure. So this is how they got to understand how Krishna is a brahmachari and Durvasa is anahari. So is it clear? Now one final note I'll also give, that unless and until one conquers sex desire, unless and until one becomes a perfect brahmachari, he cannot enter into the spiritual world. So to enter into the spiritual world, one has to give up all kinds of desire for enjoyment. So where is the question of sex life in spiritual world? So we have to understand that that is the perfect spiritual reciprocation. And yes, every living entity has the craving to become united with Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everybody. Therefore, we have a tendency, we have an intense desire to be united with Krishna. And that's why we have love in our hearts. And when that love is used or offered to Krishna, then we are able to develop our relationship with Krishna. So, the ultimate craving for every living entity in the spiritual platform is to become united with Krishna. And Krishna will embrace you. Krishna, when you achieve your spiritual perfection, Krishna will embrace us. And we cannot imagine what that embrace is like. Through that embrace, we become one with Krishna. In intense love, just as in intense love, we want to offer ourselves completely to the object of our love. And that is the perfect surrender. So the process of spiritual advancement is a process of surrender. Surrender to the extent that we practically forget about our own individual existence and become totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You see, so how wonderfully Prabhupada gave this expression, Krishna consciousness. From every single angle, we see how relevant this expression is. Krishna consciousness. We are because we are conscious. And our consciousness is meant to become Krishna conscious, become completely absorbed in. Our consciousness is meant to become completely absorbed in Krishna. And that is the ultimate purpose of our existence. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So I'll take a few questions. Bhuvan Mohini Devi Dasi, Gurgaon. Where is Bhuvan Mohini Devi Dasi? Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, question online. My question is that everyone is the part and parcel of Krishna. So should we feel envious of the asuras? Should we feel envious to the asuras? Why? Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We shouldn't feel envious of the asuras. We should become angry with the asuras because how they deal with Krishna. How do we apply this statement in my practical life? How do we do not feel envious to those who are not good with me? Oh, okay. So, how do we envious? How do I do not feel envy to those who are not good with me? Yes. Mahaprabhu's instruction is amanina manadena, desiring no respect. We must offer all respect to others. And for that, we have to become more humble than a blade of grass and as tolerant as a tree. So, when you cultivate this culture of becoming tolerant and humble, then yes, we can even treat those who are not nice with us favorably. Okay, another question from Dhruv. Where is Dhruv? Also from Gurgaon, but he is here. Okay. As explained in the first class, Kamsa was so powerful that he could defeat demigods also. But we hear that the potency is reduced in coming yugas. So it was Dwapar Yuga that he defeated the demigods. But in Kali Yuga there was a sudden diminish of this potency. The problem is that in Kali Yuga the demigods don't even come to this world. So there is no possibility of fighting with the demigods. Right? Also, there are so many pastimes and all are inconceivable. How can we understand these as these are beyond our intelligence? Yeah, so just listen and accept. There is no need to justify with our intelligence whether they are true or not, whether it is possible or not. Every morning we go and have darshan of the Lord. What should be our mood? And how should I pray to the Lord? Yes, pray to the Lord with the understanding that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Maintainer. Although He has appeared, He has manifested Himself in our houses, but He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So next question is Sachi Pyari Dasi. Sachi Pyari Dasi. Okay. Hare Krishna, dearest Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. Being here is like I am getting energy to follow path of bhakti more intensely. By listening pastimes from you is like dipping ourselves in a pond of nectar. Guru Maharaj, when we are at home, I get engaged in material activities. Please guide me so that I can be able to obtain in this atmosphere, or remain in this atmosphere at home, so that I can follow your instructions to be in the path of bhakti. Yeah, so try to be in that mood of devotion, and try to be humble and tolerant, right? And pray to Krishna, worship Krishna, and when there is difficulties, pray to Krishna. And this is how, in whichever situation you are, try to become dependent upon Krishna. That is the meaning of devotional service. Ujjal Ras Das Silchar. Okay. Your kind direction for spiritual advancement in the present life are hearing, sensation, and giving up all false ego and proud feeling, and identification of personality of contaminated body. My humble submission to you for further direction to take seriousness in spiritual activity in achievement in the present. Present situation is the machine-based life or material, social, contaminated lifestyle. So that is one disadvantage of the age of Kali. Kaler doshe nidhe rajan asti hi eko mahan. Kali Yuga is very degraded, but Kali Yuga has one advantage. Kirtana Deva Krishna Samukta Sangha Parangraja. So in one hand, the atmosphere is very difficult, but on the other hand, the process of spiritual advancement is very easy. So take to the spiritual process wholeheartedly. Amit Sharma from Gurgaon. Okay. Yesterday you explained that the false ego goes away when we advance in spiritual service. But when I get honor and respect from devotees, a pride come in me. Is it degradation in spiritual life? Well, you see, that, you know, stage of being completely free from false ego is at a very advanced stage. But if we are not so advanced, and if we do get affected by false ego and being elated by hearing glorification, take it on your stride. Because that is the stage that you are in. Let's face it. Why should we? You see, even in a man's life, we can see that the initial stage is the stage of childhood. then comes maturity. So in our spiritual life, if we are like children, let's be like children. Do we expect a child to behave like a grown-up? No. Rather, if a child tries to behave like a grown-up, it looks funny. So a child should behave like a child, a grown-up should behave like a grown-up. So when we are spiritually childlike, let's become children. With a hope that someday we'll grow up. Right? Vivek Dhumal. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Guru Maharaj Ji. Apni ye kya kanta? Apni kya? Apni kanta? Okay. Apne, achha. Apne kaha ki har tarah ki सुख सुविधा द्वारका नगरी में होते के बाद भी कृष्ण भगवान का मन वृंदावन नगरी में क्यों था, कृपया स्पष्टीकरण कीजिए. ओके या द्वारका जगह है ऐश्वर्य की जगह, वैकुंठ है ऐश्वर्य से भरा हुआ, और वैकुंठ के सबसे ऊपर की स्थिति है द्वारका. वहां कितने सारे ये हैं, सुख सुविधाएं हैं, कितने सारे दौलत हैं, ऐश्वर्य है, लेकिन कृष्ण का मन द्वारका में नहीं था, कृष्ण का मन वृंदावन में था. क्योंकि कृष्ण ने वो ये ऐश्वर्य आदि देखकर प्रभावित नहीं होते, कृष्ण केवल प्यार मांगते. कहावत है कि कृष्ण प्यार का भूखा है. यद्यपि कृष्ण सारे संसार के मालिक हैं, बल्कि कृष्ण का भी एक भूख है, वो भूख है प्यार. तो इसलिए जहां प्यार मिलता है तो कृष्ण वहां बस एकदम बस जाते हैं. तो वृंदावन है उस ऐसे प्यार की जगह, जहां केवल प्यार और प्यार और प्यार ही है कृष्ण के लिए. कलावती राधिका दासी, हरे कृष्ण, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट मोस्ट हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस अंटिल लोटस फीट. गुरु महाराज, एज यू मेंशन्ड यस्टरडे, that Govardhan was present in Treta Yug and wanted to serve by being used in the making of the bridge. If he was already on earth, then how come that Radharani told that without Govardhan, she can't come to this world? Please, Guru Maharaj, explain the fact. You see, Govardhan is there in Vrindavan. In Golok also, originally Govardhan is in Golok, but because Radharani said that I am go to a place where there is no Vrindavan, no Govardhan, no Kalindi, so Krishna said, okay, I'll arrange for them to go there. So that's how Govardhan came to the earth planet. All right, originally he's there, but he came here. Like Vrindavan is not a part of this world. Vrindavan is from the spiritual world. Vrindavan is non-different from the spiritual. So more questions came. So I will answer these questions in the afternoon session. So I'll be ending the class now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hey, prashnagulo rekhe dao. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नाम ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचार ने निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्वादी शुकारी. So how did you like my mild chastising today? You know why I chastised? Because at the beginning of the class, I wanted to explain the intricacy of rasa dance and the secret of Krishna's relationship with the gopis. That's why I wanted everyone to be there, because without telling that, without understanding that, if you enter into the rasa lila, then you may end up with misunderstanding. So that's why I wanted to clarify. And that's why I expected that everyone be there. So from now on, everyone be there. Not only here, wherever you go, divide your time like that. If you have to do gossip, okay, divide your time for gossip. But then when you have, for even for gossip time, you go in time. And whenever you have to come to the class, then also you come on time. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.